In July of 2016, a new law went into effect here in Idaho, allowing victims of sexual assault to see how far into the process their rape kit is by establishing a tracking system for the evidence. A rape kit is a collection of DNA evidence gathered after a sexual assault. An Idaho Press Tribune investigation found that nearly 2 years after this legislation went into effect in Idaho, Idaho is leading the nation in sexual assault kit testing and tracking kits. In fact, our state's techniques are prompting other states to see how Idaho is making the change. Joining me today to talk more about this law, how it works, what it means, and how far we still have to go are Representative Melissa Wintrow. Wintrow introduced the legislation, and Idaho Press Tribune reporter Emily Lowe, who recently wrote an in-depth article about how the new law is working. So I want to welcome both of you to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us here.
Absolutely. Melissa, I would like to start with you. Why did you see the need to pass a law like this?
Thanks for having us again, and thanks for that question. So after my first session in the legislature, I started to roam about and visit places, and I visited the crime lab. And there was an actual working group, multi-agency working group, working on this issue. And I sat in the meetings, and they were trying to discuss which kits do we process and how and what timelines. And at that time, there were a lot of reports coming out about kits sitting on shelves. I have a background working with sexual assault survivors, and I thought, wow, I'm going to put my experience to use. And I worked with that group to bring the first piece of legislation in 2016, which set for the first time tracking the evidence, minimum standards for processing it and getting into the national database. And then we did further legislation in the years to come.
And I was going to say, because one of the things it does is it allows victims to be able to track the kit.
Correct. And this is a really innovative process. And we have the first in the country, and in fact, the Idaho State Police Crime Lab, I have to really applaud them. They worked so hard, and they developed this tracking system so a person can go in and see where the evidence is located in any part of the system or the process, which is helpful because if you've been victimized, it helps if you can see where things are and not tapping people on the shoulder. And other states are now tapping us on the shoulder to say, hey, can we have that? And we are letting them have it for free.
And Emily, I was going to say, your investigation uncovered that in 2017, and I'm taking this right from your article, that the Idaho State Police, the crime lab, worked through 316 backlogged rape kits. However, there are still 527 unsubmitted kits that date all the way back to 1995 that remain unprocessed. Yet, as Melissa just said, we're leading the nation in this.
Yeah. And I think what's really important to take away from this is that unlike other states, as Matthew Gamma explained to me, he's with ISP, we have decided that the state's going to go back and track and submit some of those tests into the lab, depending on the investigation. So we have so many because we're deciding to go all the way back in time. Whereas I guess if they just decided from the day that the legislation got passed in 2016.
And they just started it
from
there. Yeah,
they would have much less to do.
So, Melissa, why is it important to go back to 1995? I mean, we're talking 20 plus years.
Right. Well, any one of these kits is a representation of a victim. So every kit, there's a story, there's a victim, and there's somebody that deserves justice. So regardless if it happened yesterday or 20 years ago, that person deserves to see justice served. And in public interest, it's the best thing to do because this is the way we catch serial rapists. We see this all across the country, that national database, when we enter the DNA in it, it is an opportunity then to cross-check other crime behavior, and we might catch somebody that is doing this in other states. And that's been well documented.
And I was going to say, Emily, you noted that in your article, saying that one of the things it does is, if I have this right, is that the new law with that tracking system will also show up if someone has been an offender before, correct?
Yes, and it goes even past sexual assaults, if I'm understanding right. If they commit another crime, that database holds all sorts of evidence in it, correct?
That's correct. Okay. So if there's DNA evidence from Colorado of a crime that's not necessarily a sexual assault, but there's something in there, and then there's a crime committed in Idaho of a sexual assault, that will be cross-checked in the national database, and then we can investigate criminal activity. Basically, we can put that one person to both acts.
I'm speaking with Representative Melissa Wintrow and Idaho Press Tribune reporter Emily Lowe about how Idaho is leading the nation in sexual assault kit testing. If you have a question, you can always email us at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. We always do our best to try to get your questions answered during the segment. Melissa, when you started the push for this legislation, did you have any idea that Idaho would become a poster child for how you do this well?
I wasn't really even thinking that, but I have to say the people I'm working with are so talented and they have such a passion to really help people who are victimized. And this piece of legislation, I had a number of people working on it, checking it, you know, making sure it was right, which led us to the next year to preservation of evidence. So now that we're actually collecting it, processing it, tracking it, how long do we keep it? And that matters because, again, if we have a serial rapist who has been doing this for a long time, we'll catch that person and hold them accountable. So we have some of the best preservation of evidence standards in the state. And then this last year, we took insurance out of the billing process for the medical forensic exam, and that goes into law officially on July 1.
And what will that mean?
Basically, in the past, when a victim would go to the hospital to receive a sexual assault exam for evidence.
When they collect the DNA. Correct. And it's an invasive procedure.
It's a pretty invasive traumatic experience that probably takes about 3 hours if it's done right. But when you go to the hospital, we have been unfortunately charging the victim's insurance for that collection of evidence, which is the only crime in Idaho we had been doing that in. So we corrected that. That will go into effect on July 1. So if you report a sexual assault, you get a forensic medical exam, you will no longer be billed for that. That will be taken care of by the state.
That, I would think, could be very traumatic if you get a bill from your insurance company with something like this.
Yes, and my attention was drawn to that last May when a Facebook post went viral from a woman in North Idaho who 3 years prior had been sent to collections because of that bill stuck on her record, which was unfair and basically impacted her future of buying a house.
Oh, my goodness.
So talk about being re-traumatized repeatedly.
Right. And Emily, in the article that you wrote, you noted that there were only 7 DNA analysts at the state lab.
Yeah.
And they are still able to forge this trail. Tell me a little bit about what they told you about working in this environment and the backlog. I mean, I would think this is fairly exhausting work.
Oh, yeah. So right now they only have 7 DNA analysts, and they do have one technician that does these tests that they're able to help. But on top of testing these previously unsubmitted tests, they have ones coming in from this year. And kind of doing a side note, a new standard is that when a kit gets tested, you have to submit it to the lab 30 days from when it was tested or taken.
That's correct.
And so on top of them testing those new kits, they have the different criminal evidence from homicides, from assaults, maybe from different burglaries where evidence comes in. So just, I mean, I don't have the exact numbers on overtime, but this is something that they've talked with me about where it's a lot of overtime. It's a lot of work for them to get through all of this.
Mm. And Melissa?
Yeah, I was going to comment on that. They are really working hard. In the first piece of legislation, we actually made an appropriation for 2 additional staff members. But we're seeing through, I think, the expectations of public safety and accountability that we might need to dedicate more resources to the crime lab to make sure we are basically serving justice. Mm-hmm. If we're going to do all these tests, we should, you know, be able to do them in a timely fashion.
And when you talk about that 30-day window, are there repercussions if they do not get everything submitted within that time frame? Because I would think that's one of the reasons why we are able to move this process forward.
The 30 days is an accountability piece that we have put in place for law enforcement. And I think it does a couple of things. One, it prioritizes a crime that has historically been marginalized, unintentionally or intentionally. But sometimes police forces are overwhelmed with cases, and these are harder cases to prove. There's a lot of investigation that has to go into it. So this additionally keeps that moving, and I think it keeps the crime lab moving. It keeps everybody on target and organized to make sure that we are basically seeking justice in a timely fashion for folks.
Even though we are on the cutting edge of this, and we've had other states now, as you said, Emily, in your article, mm-hmm. when you talked to Idaho State Police, they're having other states come in and say, what are you doing and how do we do this? Because this is an issue across the country, correct? This is not something, Melissa, that we that is unique to Idaho.
That's correct. I actually saw somebody pinged me in an article in Nevada. It was last summer that said, and it basically the headline was, if they can do it in Idaho, we can do it too. And they were referring to this tracking system and the processing legislation that we had done. But we're seeing other states do this. And in particular, we're seeing like places with large cities, Detroit, Ohio, et cetera, that have discovered once they process all these, they are actually catching a lot of people and holding them accountable for these crimes.
And is that because I would think a number of these people have committed other crimes in other areas and this system is opening that up?
That's correct. It increases the opportunity to catch a perpetrator.
And that's ultimately the goal, right there.
Absolutely. I mean, when I have worked directly with victims and survivors of sexual assault and domestic violence, when they come to me, they're not banging on the table wanting somebody's head. They want to be treated with dignity, respect, and fairness. They want to see their case taken seriously. And if we're going to collect the evidence, we better process it and hold people accountable.
Well, I appreciate both of you coming in today and talking about this, Representative Melissa Wintrow and Idaho Press Tribune reporter Emily Lowe. If you would like to read that full article, we will link it to our website. It's also on the Idaho Press Tribune's website as well.